ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Episode 122 of the report. It's been a week, and we rocking out to some Fontigolo, man. Fonte and Eric Robeson right now. Let's jag out. Let's ride out with this for a minute. With y'all, man. It's been a long week, man. It's been a long week for your boy. Physical, mentally exhausting, training, all of that stuff at the job, man. It's been hot. Dealing with a lot of stuff, man. And we had the Democratic National Convention. Yeah, we had that happen this week. So we're going to talk a lot about that this week, man. But also, we got news that, Michael Jordan had donated money to fight police violence and stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, man. I got some random thoughts that I want to get to. We're going to talk about just a whole lot of stuff. I kind of feel like my mind has been all over the place over the past week. So I feel like I want to talk to all of that stuff while we're here. So before I get into all of that, I got to let you know how you guys can get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. You can hit your boy up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play those messages here on the show and respond in kind. You can also email the show at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Send me those emails. And, of course, I'll read those emails and respond to those emails live on here on the show as well. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. Mr. Underscore Span, so we can chop it up there. Go ahead and like that Mr. Span fan page, man. That's how you can go and watch this show live. So every time I go live, you get that notification on Facebook from your tablet, from your phone, from your computer. Wherever you are, you can participate in the chat room when it comes to the Span Report. So go ahead, like the Mr. Span fan page, catch these shows live as they're happening, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, man, you can go to www.thespanreport.com. Go there for voting in the polls, catching up on some of the older podcasts, some of those throwback episodes, like all the way back to episode one. Those are available there, videos and everything. You can leave comments there. Everything is available at thespanreport.com. And so I really appreciate it if you guys went there and got your fix on, man. And as a matter of fact, you can also donate to the show, man. For those of you who like to put on and help keep this ball rolling, you can go to www.thespanreport.com and you can donate to the show, man. It's simple. Just go there, hit the donate tab, and give whatever you like, how often you like, and every bit is very much appreciated. You know what I mean? Real talk. Also, man, there's something else. You guys can also get your official Span Report t-shirts, man. These are selling now. You can go to www.teespring.com/thespanreport and you can get your official Span Report t-shirt, man. They come in a lot of different colors. I'm actually coming up with another campaign so I can add more colors to it. But yeah, man, for those of you who have really been rocking with the Span Report and you want to show your support and you want to let people know that this is what you do, you rocking with us here at the Span Report, go ahead and get yourself an official Span Report podcast t-shirt. Now, the thing is, like, I'm rocking a t-shirt now, right? I'm rocking a t-shirt now, but this t-shirt that I have on now is not the design that you guys are going to get. There's a slight design change as far as the logo is concerned. I actually think it's a better version of my logo on these version of t-shirts that are selling now. So go ahead to www.teespring.com/thespanreport. Get yourself a spanreport.com t-shirt, man. It's very much appreciated, and it helps keep this ball rolling, man, real talk. So I appreciate anybody who would go ahead and cop one of those, man, real talk. But, yeah, man. Yeah, it's been an eventful week as far as politics and everything like that has been concerned, man. We got a chance to see the Democratic National Convention stuff pop off, man. All of that. We're gonna get back into that a little later. But I got some thoughts that I want to kind of get into that have been kind of on my head this week, man. Now, I know all of us, we have like these pet peeves when it comes to social media, right? Sometimes it's you know, your parents, you know, checking you about some shit you done said on your social media and you feeling like you have to police yourself there. Sometimes it's, you know, folks who are contacting you a whole lot and you don't really necessarily want them to contact you as much. It gets a little weird. It gets a little off-putting when they do that. My biggest pet peeve on social media, especially when I'm on Facebook, is when I have friends of friends commenting on my shit, talking shit to me on Facebook. Right? I hate that. That gets on my fucking nerves, right? So I had this instance where, you know, you guys, I'm pretty sure you guys know where you'll have a friend who they'll put up a status and it's like, well, you know, if you're really my friend, go ahead and copy and paste this. Let me see who's paying attention and who's following directions and all that shit, right? That happens all the time. It's a little... it's a little needy, but okay, I get it. You want somebody to, you know, show that they like you or whatever. I get it, right? So I put up a status earlier this week. I was like, you know what? If your family and your friends, man, I need y'all to do one thing, and that's absolutely nothing. Just, we don't need those kind of affirmations to, you know, affirm our relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I see you. I say hello. We talk every once in a while. And that's, for me, that's cool. For a lot of folks, man, that's cool. I don't need to put it. You don't have to put in work to be my friend. You know what I mean? And so I put that status up, and this lady, I don't know who she was, never spoken to her before at all, never had any sort of interactions whatsoever, felt the need to come on my status and say that, and start talking about my relationship with my father. And of course, you guys know if you've been paying attention to this show, me and my dad never really got along. We never really had that much of a relationship in my adult years. And so, you know, she made mention of the fact that I had made that video about my father on YouTube years ago and, you know, how it was tacky of me to go to my father's funeral, right? And the first thing that popped in my head was like, who the fuck are you? right? And so, of course, when you see stuff like that from people that you don't know, the first thing you do, you go to their page and you find out who your mutual friends are. Like, how the fuck did you find me and how did you get over here? And it just so happened to be one of my uncle's friends, right? On my father's side. Now, I'm going to make this very clear, man. One of the biggest ways to get, like, to get blocked or unfriended or whatever is for you to bring your people or for your people to come on my social media and start bringing arguments to me and I don't know them. I don't have the patience for them. I'm barely tolerating a lot of folks who I know who say a lot of stupid shit, right? I'm barely tolerating them. So what makes you think that your friend whom I don't know is going to come in my space and start taking up space in there? Like, I'm just going to tolerate that. No, that's not going to happen. And it happens more often than like most people think. Like, you'll have instances where you're having a conversation with folks or you're having just like a little debate or whatever on Facebook, and then people from all over the place start jumping in on this discussion, right? And I get it. Sometimes, you know, conversations go viral that way. But I remember, like, last year when I was really talking about Bill Cosby a lot, I got into an incident. I got into it with a former coworker, a guy I used to work with. He was commenting on, you know, how we don't know what's going on with Bill Cosby and how Bill Cosby is being set up. And y'all know how I feel about that shit. But then his aunt came in on this discussion. I don't know his fucking aunt. Right? I don't know this lady. But she came in and started talking about how stupid I was being. I'm like, hold on. Who the fuck are you? And then he gets in. He's like, yo, hold up. That's my aunt. I'm like, hey, man, you can take her, tell her to take that stupid shit over where she's at, and you can go right there along with her. I don't have time for that. And so, like, that was one of the things that kind of happened to me earlier this week is like, yo, who are these people who feel comfortable coming into their friends of friends to talk shit to folks, man? Where y'all come from? Where y'all get that idea that that's some cool shit to do? Because at the end of the day, I'm going to cuss you smooth the fuck out. I know a lot of folks who just going to cuss you smooth the fuck out and block your ass and keep it moving, right? And that's the thing, man. It's like, yo, I think with the social media thing, man, people have really begun to allow this to, it's really allowed them to, like, not necessarily exercise their manners, right? You say a lot of shit to folks on social media that you wouldn't necessarily say to them in their face, and you're much more aggressive to folks on social media because you don't feel like you're going to have to suffer any of those consequences of having to deal with that person on the face-to-face level. But at the same time, man, I don't have to deal with that, and I know a lot of folks who have run into those kind of situations, and it's real awkward. It's real awkward. It's awkward for you, especially for the people in the middle who might not necessarily agree with their friend who just jumped into the middle of that conversation, right? It's very awkward for those people to have to be like, yo, man, my bad. You know, like, I don't know why she tripping like that. That's, you know, that's some bullshit. And, you know, that it is what it is. But, yeah, man, I was dealing with that earlier this weekend. What's up, Aaron, man? I see you in the chat room, buddy. Another thing too, man, and this is a bit more lighthearted. Shout out to everybody who's old enough to remember when Chuck E. Cheese was Showbiz Pizza, man. Real talk. I saw this video earlier this week where, there was a, there was like the Chuck E. Cheese band and they were singing Usher's, like a Usher song or whatever. And it was funny as shit, right? Like, they had it in sync and everything. But I can remember when I was a kid being scared as hell of those damn animated puppets, man. Like, up there performing. When I was a kid, that shit was scary as hell to me. You could not leave me in the Chuck E. Cheese with the Chuck E. Cheese, Showbiz puppets out there performing. I wasn't having it. I didn't want to have anything to do with the little theater where they were performing. Send me over to where the balls was at. Send me to where, like, the games was at. Send me to where the rides was at. That's where I was good. I was good. But if you had me over there where they were serving the pizza with the puppets that was performing, I probably wasn't going to be at that party real long, man. Real time. That shit scared the hell out of me when I was a kid, man. I never really could get with the puppets. It took until I got grown for me to be halfway okay with them performing puppets. So, yeah, man, shout out to everybody who's old enough to remember when Chuck E. Cheese was Showbiz Pizza, man. That shit just brought that memory back to me, for real. And there's a lot of other little places that besides Chuck E. Cheese and Showbiz. Like, I remember here in Michigan, man, in the Detroit area, we had another place called Major Magic's. And I wonder how, like, why all of these different places, man, they just kind of fall by the wayside, man. Like, folks aren't taking their kids out in the ways that they used to anymore. I know Dave and Buster's is sort of like a thing now, and of course, you know, you got Chuck E. Cheese, but Chuck E. Cheese isn't nowhere near what it used to be when we were kids. At least that's how I've you know, remember it. I may be romanticizing it a bit, but it's nothing like it was when we were kids. It seemed to me like we had more games. It seemed to me like we had more you know, stuff to get into. And maybe because I was a kid, the place seemed bigger than it really was, right? But yeah, man, I don't know why I'm feeling nostalgic like that. But yeah, man, that happened this week too, man. Another thing too, man. And I don't know if you guys noticed or not, and I'm wondering if I'm a very terrible person for even thinking this, but we got news that Mary J. Blige has actually filed for divorce from her husband of like 12 years. I think his name is like Kendu Isaac or something like that. And they've been married for like 12 years. And instead of being like all broke up and sad about the demise of a long-term marriage where folks were living together and sometimes it was blissful and harmonious and all of those things, and then they find out that, you know what, we don't really need to be together. And the only thing I could think of was like, yo, man, this Mary album is about to be the boom, nigga. I can't wait for this Mary album to come out. Miserable Mary? Nigga. We love Miserable Mary. Miserable Mary gave us some of the greatest songs of our lifetimes, man. We love Miserable Mary. We love Miserable Mary. Like when she was like on crack and she was doing drugs and she was fucking around with Casey or Jodeci or whatever. Like we saw her get away from that and still look good and stuff like that. And we saw the demise of Casey because Casey still looks sick. But yeah, man, we saw that. And, you know, like her music got more and more upbeat. And we got more and more disgruntled with the shit that she was putting out. Like, man, this some bullshit, Mary. Like, what happened? We much more preferred your music when you was all fucked up and sad. And I'm feeling like I'm a terrible person. I'm feeling like that. But you know what's even more fucked up? Is that I know I am not the only one who feels this way. Right? I know I am not the only one who feels as if Mary J. Blige being in a real sad state means we about to get some bomb ass music. It's almost like when they send a rapper to jail, niggas be like, yo, man, when that nigga come out, he gonna have all the bars, son. He gonna have all the bars. Like, that shit's gonna happen. And I'm waiting for that Mary album. I wonder what she's gonna call it. Like, 12 years for nothing. Some shit like that, right? Yeah, man. Now, all right, let's get into some of this news, man. Let's get into what happened during the week. Now, of course, there was a story that Michael Jordan had actually spoke out about the Black Lives Matter and his inability to stay quiet into this. Hold on, let me make sure I pull this up here. All right, his inability to stay quiet about it, right? And so, one of the things about Michael Jordan that kind of gets lost is the fact that I wouldn't even say it gets lost. Michael Jordan has never really been that much of a political person. He's never really spoken up about anything political whatsoever. I think the last time I can remember Michael Jordan even entering the political fray was to endorse Bill Bradley for president back in like 2000 when they were still in the Democratic primaries. And I believe that was when Bill Bradley was like, he lost to Al Gore that year, right? And that was the last time I can ever remember hearing anything from Michael Jordan in the public sphere as far as politics was concerned, right? And so Michael Jordan came out and he donated $1 million each to the Institute for Community Police Relations and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, right? And an interesting thing happened. Well, actually, a couple interesting things happened. The first interesting thing that happened was all of the folks who were just flat out surprised that Michael Jordan would say anything at all, considering the fact that he hadn't said anything for so long about so much, right? Like all of these things that have been happening as far as, you know, like these police killings with Black Lives Matter, all of these things, man, Michael Jordan has said nothing. As a matter of fact, it's gotten to a point where his silence has helped people kind of create a caricature or create a narrative around the type of person that Michael Jordan is, right? Like how many of us have heard the quote purported to be from Michael Jordan that Republicans buy sneakers too, when there was a Senate race, I believe, in North Carolina between Jesse Helms. I think it was like Jesse Helms person who had won the Senate race in North Carolina. He was a pretty bigoted Republican candidate or whatnot. He won. They said, well, like if Michael Jordan had spoken up, he probably would not have won that campaign. And Michael Jordan is reportedly just said, Republicans buy sneakers too, or report, you know, Republicans buy shoes too, or whatever. And that cynicism has, and that statement has kind of been a thing that stuck with Michael Jordan over the past 20, 25 years. So whenever Michael Jordan doesn't say anything as far as, you know, anything political, folks always go back to that statement. And so, like, it came out earlier this week that he might not have even said that. And I don't know how truthful that is, right? And the reason why I say I don't even know if it's truthful that Michael Jordan did not say that is because it sat out there for so long and he didn't fight as vehemently about getting that notion out of there as he did when it came to when he sued Dominique Jules in Chicago about the unauthorized use of his image. Now, he won a settlement of about $8 million with Jewel Osco. He sued Jewel Osco in Chicago for the unauthorized use of his image. And he, even in that trial, he talked about how meticulously his image has been, you know, kind of manicured and protected. And so for that statement to kind of hang out there for 20, 25 years and he not police it in much the same way that he's done that. Oh shit, airplanes flying overhead and shit. But in the ways in which he fought that, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, like, well, maybe you did, like, kind of sign off on that. Maybe that was your thinking. And I get it, like, you know, not necessarily wanting to be held to a same, you know, line of thinking that you might have held 15, 20 years ago. I mean, if you listen to this show, there's some things that I've said on this show 5 years ago that I don't necessarily agree with now. So I get that. But to have that notion out there for so long and it not be combated by someone who could combat it, I thought, you know, I think it was a bit disingenuous for him to say that it might not have been him to say it. It could be true. I don't know. But it sat out there for so long that I'm skeptical that he didn't say it. Right. But one of the things that I think is that I think needs to be said when it comes to Michael Jordan and his now coming out to speak, because actually what he said was this. He said, as a proud American, a father who has lost his own dad in a senseless act of violence, and a black man, I have been deeply troubled by the deaths of African Americans at the hands of law enforcement and angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting and killing of police officers. Jordan writes in a one-page letter released exclusively to The Undefeated. I grieve with the families who have lost loved ones, as I know their pain too well. Now, one of the things that is interesting about this is, you know, we hear all the time, like, you know, Charles Barkley goes out all the time and he says what he feels about a lot of political issues. And the thing with Charles Barkley is, like, he says a lot of things. Charles Barkley isn't necessarily educated on a lot of the things that he talks about. One of the things that I've always said about when it comes to celebrities or people of prominence coming out and speaking about some of these political issues is that they educate themselves on these issues. And I don't want to give Jordan a pass, but it could be a situation where Michael Jordan, not only being business astute, but also not feeling as if he's educated enough on the topics to speak to them, that kept him from speaking. Now, I don't want to speak for him and I don't want to make any excuses for him, but that could be what, you know, that could be something to consider, that he didn't feel as if he was educated enough on these issues to say anything. Whereas a person like a Charles Barkley will go out there and say, well, you know, black folks kill black folks, so I don't understand why we get mad when the police do it, and sound completely fucking ignorant when he says it, and then wonders why folks are looking at him sideways. Michael Jordan comes out and he says that, you know, he's troubled by what's going on, and yet folks are like kind of looking at him sideways too. Partly because he hadn't said anything for so long, and then partly because of, you know, whom he gave the money to, right? Now, there's a Kevin Blackerstone, right? Now, Kevin Blackerstone is a columnist. I believe he's at the Washington Post. He also kind of contributes to the ESPN over there. What's the name of that show? Around the Horn, right? And he goes on Around the Horn. He's a guest there a lot. And he spoke on this issue. So let me go ahead and pull this up for you guys real quick, because I want to be able to let you guys see exactly what Kevin Blackstone had to say on this issue. Hold on just a second as I pull this up. Okay. And for whatever reason, it's coming up black. All right, there we go. So here's what we're going to do.
But you don't have to be anti-police to understand what the situation is. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to find out how you can be emotionally moved by the extrajudicial killings of black men in this country and then cut a check for $1 million to the police. The police aren't in need of funding when it comes to this situation. I mean, you're talking about a city like the city of Baltimore, which has paid out over $12 million in settlements for police brutality lawsuits between 2010 and 2014. If they had policed their communities a lot better and treated black people a lot more humanely, then they would have a lot more money to spend for their police department. And as far as giving money to the defense fund of the NAACP, which basically was born out of Thurgood Marshall back in the 1940s, why not give the Black Lives Matter movement a legal arm and fund and seed some funding to start that as a new civil rights movement for a new era and a new century? If I could talk to Michael Jordan, I would say, why don't you talk to Hanes Underwear, who you represent, and talk to them about bringing back some of the 30 plants that they closed down in the early 2000s here and outsource those jobs overseas and bring those jobs back to urban America or areas around urban America where maybe young black kids can get better paying jobs and not be part of the lumping proletariat like you saw with Eric Garner in New York having to sell Lucy's on a sidewalk in order to make ends meet to pay his family. I think those kinds of things would have a far more reaching impact on this situation than $2 million given to either of those institutions.
All right. Now, you know, the thing about what Kevin Blackstone had to say is that I have no objection to what he said whatsoever. All of those points that he made were pretty much on point, right? Like, there's a lot of things to critique about Michael Jordan and his contribution to black society or lack thereof, or his contribution to the struggle or lack thereof. There's a lot of things to say about it. But the one thing that I will say is this, is that when it comes to a lot of our celebrities, when it comes to a lot of our prominent black folks, there's going to come a time where, like, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, they're going to piss somebody off. Right. And so the thing with Michael Jordan is, I think Michael Jordan is trying not to piss off a lot of folks. I think Michael Jordan is still trying to be, you know, business savvy and shrewd in that way to not really fuck up any money for himself. And, you know, again, it kind of comes across as disingenuous. But at the same time, it's like, yo, he could have kept not saying nothing. He could have not contributed nothing. And so I got a question for you guys, man. This is something that I want you guys to go and to the Spare Report and vote in the poll, man, because this is the poll question this week. Like, do you think Michael Jordan's $2 million donation to combat police violence was enough? Go to the poll at www.thespareandreport.com. Go to this episode, and the poll is there, and you can vote, and let me know what you guys are thinking about Michael Jordan's contribution, what he said. Leave comments there. Let me know what you guys are thinking about this particular issue when it comes to Michael Jordan speaking out against police violence, man. Real talk. Yeah, man. Now, another thing happened over the course of this week, and it was the fact that Bow Wow, right? Bow Wow has told all of us that he's mixed. Let me do that again. Bow Wow is mixed, y'all. Who the fuck knew? Who knew that Bow Wow is mixed, right? Now, the thing about Bow Wow being mixed is the way in which he tried to use it to justify why he's not voting, right? And so it came out earlier this week where Bow Wow was telling folks that he is not going to vote. He has no interest in voting. And folks are pretty much trying to educate Bow Wow to tell him, like, yo, man, like, you do know that, like, your ancestors kind of paved the way for you to have this right. And, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face to your ancestors. And Bow Wow took that as an opportunity to say, yo, I'm not voting because I'm not really black. I'm mixed. Right. Now, that's news to a lot of folks. That's news to a lot of people, especially when you come up around a whole bunch of black folks, when you use a black art form, when you are in a whole bunch of black movies, when you were girded up by black teenage girls who were requesting your music, who were requesting your videos on a black television network, BET, then you also decided you were going to host that same BET show that kind of undergirded your career for years. And then when it comes to them telling you about your civic duty to vote, you tell them that the reason why you're not voting and you can't relate to the struggle for why we should vote, that is because you mixed. Somebody need to tell Bow Wow that we don't necessarily get to choose, right? I don't think there's a whole lot of white folks who look at Bow Wow and say, hey, you know what? That guy's mixed. He's different from those other Negroes. You don't get to choose that, man. I think if you were to walk down the street right now in a hoodie, in much the same way that Trayvon Martin supposedly walked down the street in a hoodie, a lot of folks wouldn't necessarily understand that you were mixed or that you didn't have full blood blackness in you, right? None of those people would care. You look like a young black man who also was a rapper. None of those folks are going to care what you think about you being mixed, right? And so it kind of goes back into the notion that I was talking about a few weeks ago. As a matter of fact, last week I spoke on this when I talked about there's this idea that, not even so much the idea, we have this social media shit where we have so much access to these stars. We have so much access to everything about them. We have reality shows where we actually watch them live their life. We have the access to them on Twitter and Instagram where we can actually interact with them and talk to them and pick their brains and all of these things. And we start learning about these people a lot of shit that we might not necessarily like, right? And so when you have these interactions with these folks, you know, you're looking at Bow Wow and you're like, yo, bro, like, you might not be all that smart. Excuse me. You might not be all that smart, bruh. You know, if you think that you saying because you're mixed that, you know, they're going to look at you differently or you don't have the same responsibility that they, you know, to blackness because you may be mixed with whatever it is that you're mixed with. Yeah, man, you might not be that bright. And it's starting to come off like, you know, it's starting to come up with like a lot of like celebrities, especially some of these black celebrities where they get a certain level of fame or they get a certain position in their life where they feel like they can just kind of walk away from blackness. They can kind of like leave it alone. I'm a new black person now. My blackness didn't prevent me from getting to where I am today with my all the hard work that I put in. I am a shining example of why, you know, you can't let your blackness hold you back. A lot of those, you know, you start hearing a lot of that kind of shit, right? But at the end of the day, Bow Wow is looked at universally as a black man, whether he'd like to, you know it or not, right? And so that whole thing about social media, it's just another instance with social media where we learn something more about these celebrities that we don't necessarily like, and we know too much about them, and we probably didn't want to know that Bow Wow was this fucking stupid. And I'm pretty sure that some folks have probably had instances of that, or they've had inklings to that nature or that notion. But yeah, man, social media, you learn a whole lot about these celebrities you don't really necessarily want to know. And Bow Wow is the latest example of that, man. Real talk. And again, like I said about Michael Jordan, like I said about Charles Barkley, and I'm going to say it again about Bow Wow. When it comes to these issues, especially when it comes to these political issues, the biggest thing and the biggest rule for all of this political shit is just to kind of know what it is that you're talking about. Be educated on these issues if you're going to speak to them. Don't say anything just because you feel like it or because you feel like, you know what, I'm going to shock the world today and I'm going to have people talking about me. Nah, man, it really helps for you to actually know what the fuck it is you're talking about when you speak on these issues, man. Real talk. So, yeah, man, Bow Wow. Bow Wow almost made Ass Hat of the Week this week, but nah, man, he didn't. That wasn't enough for him to earn that moniker this week, right? Because we got somebody else who took that on earlier this week. So yeah, but yeah, man, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this, right? The Democratic National Convention happened earlier this week. Hillary Clinton is the first woman ever to be nominated by a major party to be president of the United States, right? We witnessed history, right? And, you know, it was a week where we saw a lot of great speeches. We saw Michelle Obama. We saw Barack Obama, Joe Biden. We saw so many different dynamic speakers, so many different people who are trying to, you know, who pretty much are just laying it out flat. They're like, yo, the fact that we have this other dude on the other side running for president and we're even considering this dude is scary. But here's all these other qualified people who are going to speak as to why we need to dominate Hillary Clinton for president of the United States, right? And so during the Democratic National Convention, man, right before it started, man, there was a DNC leak, right? WikiLeaks broke into the Democratic National Committee's web server or their email server, and they dumped out over 15,000 emails, some innocuous, some not, about some of the ways in which, you know, a lot of the staffers in the Democratic National Committee were favoring Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders, right? And the funny thing about it is like, you know, I've said this over the course of the last week or so, is that as bad as it looks, as bad as it looks for the Democratic National Committee and the convention, truth be told, those Democrats didn't owe Bernie Sanders a goddamn thing. They did not owe him anything. Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. Right, Bernie Sanders was an independent senator from Vermont. Independent. Yeah, he caucused with the Democrats on a lot of things, but he was an independent. He was not a member of the party. As a matter of fact, after the Democratic National Convention convened and was over with, Bernie Sanders went right back to being an independent senator from Vermont. Right? So they really didn't owe him any favors. He used the Democratic National Committee and the convention and the party basically to give him a platform so that he can get his name on ballot, so that he can be a part of debates and all these other things, right? Smart move by him to, you know, to kind of try to gain the system in the way in which he did. But at the same time, it's like, no, man, you know, they didn't owe him any favors. They really didn't, because he wasn't a part of the party. He wasn't trying to get any Democrats nominated or elected on any of the down ballot races that are happening. He wasn't campaigning or raising money for any of the other Democratic candidates in those down ballot races. He was not being a helpful hand for the Democratic Party. He brought a lot of people over with him who are also independents, who at the same time were also talking about they're going to vote third party, right? And we saw a lot of that at the onset of this convention, where, you know, a lot of people who were upset that Bernie Sanders lost, and they were also upset it was compounded by the favoritism, so to speak, of the Democratic National Committee led by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, right? So you had a lot of that going on. But at the same time, it's like, yo, from the very beginning, Bernie Sanders was losing in delegates, super delegates, popular vote, right? So the super delegates, yeah, you could say, yeah, they stacked the deck against Bernie Sanders, right? You could say that they stacked the deck against Bernie Sanders. But the thing about the super delegates is that they're party members and they vote for who they think is best for the party. Bernie Sanders had not gained any headway to say that, hey, I'm a member of this party and you guys should come vote for me. No, he was like, no, I won this primary, so y'all should vote for me because I won this primary. And that's exactly why the superdelegates aren't what he thought they were, right? That wasn't what the superdelegates were designed to do. The superdelegates were designed to put their support behind who they thought was best for the party, who they thought was best for their party, not who the voters wanted. That's why they have superdelegates. The voters go to the polls and they award delegates. It's not that complicated. It's really not that complicated. So, you know, we saw a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters talking about they're going to vote third party, right? You know, I'm going to vote for Jill Stein. I'm going to vote for that Johnson cat, you know, the Johnson fellow, right? And a lot of it is because they are pissed that their guy lost. They just haven't gotten over the fact that their guy lost, right? And I've been saying this over the course of the week, and I'm going to reiterate this here now for the show. All of you guys who are talking about you voting third party, that you're going to have a protest vote, that you don't believe that Hillary Clinton is much better than Donald Trump, even though Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders voted together in the Senate 93% of the time. All of you people who were talking about voting for these third party candidates, I want you to think about something, and I want you to take this home with you. I want you to like really mull over this and really let this kind of marinate for a minute. I need y'all to be more consistent in your practice of voting for third party candidates, right? Because I'm going to tell you right now, this two-party system isn't necessarily working for the vast majority of the American people, right? We get either or. We don't get the in-between. We don't have that third option, that third viable option that we need in order to kind of balance this whole thing out, to get the people in the middle to feel like they have more of a say than those who are on the extreme right or the extreme left. But for those of you who keep talking about you're going to vote third party, here's what I need you guys to do. I need you guys to actually vote third party on something other than president of the United States, right? So when you are voting for, you know, your district court judges, when you're voting for your mayors and your city council members, when you're voting for comptrollers, when you're voting for your attorney generals, when you're voting for your secretary of states in your state, I need you to actively campaign. I need you to actively vote for those third party candidates, and not only just your local races, but your national races too. So when we start talking about your senators and your district representatives in the House of Representatives, start actively using your vote and using your voice and campaigning for a lot of these third party candidates. Because you know what? We just witnessed Barack Obama go through 8 years of obstruction, right? Where even now he's got a Supreme Court nominee who's been sitting up for about a good 5 months, 4 or 5 months now, and they haven't even brought his nomination up for a vote in the Congress, right? It's kind of hard to get shit done when the legislative body of the three branches of government has decided that they don't want to do anything that they're supposed to be doing for a political point. So you're going to need somebody who has allies who are going to you're going to need somebody who has a like allies in that legislative branch to get shit done. Because Barack Obama, as much as, you know, folks like to shit on some of the accomplishments that Barack Obama got done, he was able to get a lot done considering the fact that there was a whole branch of government who were just saying, yo man, whatever the fuck it is he's trying to do, we ain't fucking with it. We gonna try to make this dude a one term dude. And then he became a second term dude. And now he's like a lame duck president. And so they just like, yo, fuck him. We ain't got to do nothing he says. We gonna lock shit up. So if you're going to vote third party, I need you to be a bit more consistent. Don't only vote third party when you decide that you're pissed off that your guy lost in the primary. And don't say that the process was rigged and it was fixed when the results bear out that, yo, even if they hadn't shared those emails. Excuse me. Hold on just a second. Even if those emails had not come out, the process itself did not show election rigging. It didn't. The process still played out the way the process still played out. Over 3 million people voted more for Hillary Clinton than they did for Bernie Sanders. Let's just let that sink in. 3 million people. Those emails were not going to change 3 million votes. It wasn't. And so I need you guys to be a bit more consistent when it comes to these third party candidates. Make them more viable. Put in the work to make them more viable, if that's the option that you want to go for, right? Because when you wait until the presidential nomination, or you wait until you're pissed with this particular candidate to decide, you know what, I'm gonna do a protest vote. I'm gonna just go ahead, I'm gonna vote for this person because I can't vote for either one of those. It's wasting your vote. It's wasting it. Your vote means absolutely nothing. You're voting for somebody you know who, you're voting for someone you know has absolutely no chance of winning. It makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense. So put in the work. Make these guys more viable. Campaign for them on a more consistent basis. Actively campaign and vote for third party candidates on the lower levels of government as well, so that by the time you get to the president of the United States and you want to vote for a presidential candidate who's third party, they actually have a base. They actually have a party to adhere to. They actually have a party with a platform. They actually have a party who's on every state ballot. You got to do it. It takes work. Not you being pissed off at the last minute, like, y'all, man, fuck this shit, man. I'm going to go ahead and do something else. Nah, man, it takes work. So for all of you guys who are talking about voting third party, yeah, I hear you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Because y'all don't put in the work for it. Y'all get pissed that the process didn't work out in the way in which you thought it should have worked out. And then you say, well, I'm going to do this third party shit. Then the person you voted for, third party, doesn't win. And then you sitting around looking at everybody else like, well, shit, it's fucked up because, you know, y'all voted for that other guy. I didn't vote for him, though. Come on, bro. We don't believe you. It's like a pissy fucking hissy fit. Like, it's like kids, man, just like throwing tantrums. Throwing tantrums. And it was a lot of that during the convention, man. Like, you had speakers that were, I think Leon Panetta was speaking at one point, and you had folks who were just like, it was a lot of chatter going on while somebody was up at the podium speaking, man. That was rude as shit. Rude as hell, man. So, yeah, I mean, it was a historic moment. Historic moment for Hillary Clinton. But that third party shit, I think, you know, the Bernie or bust crowd really has to understand how this process works. And even if you're going to vote for third party, learn how that process works. You being pissed off isn't going to change a whole hell of a lot if you don't put any actions behind it, right? Now, another thing that I thought was interesting was the fact that with this DNC leak, that there was a lot of folks who were talking about the Democratic process being rigged, right? And even Bernie Sanders' own press secretary went out to say that, no, they lost it fair and square. And she worked on that campaign. She was the voice of that campaign. She was a spokesperson for that campaign on numerous occasions. She was the national press secretary, Simone Sanders. I believe it was on motherjones.com. You can look that article up for yourself. So this idea that, you know, the process was all fucked up and, I get it. It looks bad. It looks bad. But to have an exchange with folks talking or discussing the candidate or even the times of debates, because even that's like kind of funny too. Like, people were talking about the times of the debates. Well, like, we could have been in prime time. Like, okay, do you think that's really going to change 3 million votes though? If you'd have just been on a prime time debate, like, folks make time for what they want to make time for. Real talk. People have DVRs. They will watch shit when they want to. Check out Game of Thrones. I want to watch Game of Thrones. I don't even have HBO anymore, but I pay for HBO Go. I pay for HBO Now. I'm sorry. I pay for that shit so I can watch Game of Thrones. People will make time for the shit they want to make time for. Time for excuses, though, when it comes to Bernie Sanders, has got to stop, man. It's got to stop. It's over. It's over. So, yeah, man. You know, another thing, too, about this Democratic National Convention that I thought was a bit telling, especially when you consider the difference between the Republican National Committee or National Convention and the Democratic one, was the fact that it was so diverse, right? It included messages from not only mothers of the movement, from women who had lost their children, to not only violence from the police, but gun violence in the neighborhoods. It also had, your military people who were getting up speaking about the military acumen of Hillary Clinton and the ways in which they have actively tried to protect the country. Or you listen to their advocacy for LGBT community members, and you listen to the advocacy of, you know, equal pay for equal work for women, and you listen to the advocacy of breaking the glass ceiling of a woman finally becoming or having the opportunity to become president. A lot more inclusive platform on the Democratic side than the Republican side, right? We saw the Republican National Committee or Convention. We saw them speak about how fucked up everything in America is. And truth be told, there's a lot of shit that's fucked up about America. But when it came to speaking on black issues, Black Lives Matter, we were trumpeted. Black Lives Matter is treated as a protest or a terrorist group. You got Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee County, getting up in front of the of thousands of people and millions that were watching and say, well, you know, the police officers in Baltimore, Maryland were found not guilty and, you know, their cases were thrown out and the crowd cheered. And it's like, yo, y'all are cheering the death of a fellow American at the hands of the police. Now, Freddie Gray didn't kill himself. His death was ruled a homicide, but nobody's responsible. And this is what y'all cheering? Makes absolutely no sense. So, it was pretty much a shit show for the Republicans. It was a damn good convention for the Democrats. And, interesting few months we got in front of us, man. I really want to see these debates come up when it comes to Hillary Rodham Clinton and, Donald Trump actually debating. And you really get to see that contrast up front, personal, in real time. You see that contrast, not, you know, either one responding to each other on Twitter and whatever else, man. But yeah, man, that happened this week. So, Democratic National Committee is over, or the convention is over. The Republican convention is over. We got 3 more months of this, this election coverage, and I'm tired, right? I'm tired of all of it, and I can't wait for it to be over. But I hope people make the right decision, man. Right. But, yeah, man, it's time for our segments, and we got our ass hat of the week coming.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. And so our first ass hat, well, actually our only ass hat this week is none other than Thot Mom, right? Now, you guys have probably seen the video of this lady deciding that she was going to beat her daughter for the way in which she was portraying herself on Facebook, right? Called her daughter Thot, you know, punched her quite a few times, hit her with a ruler, you know, slapped her around. And she was broadcasting all of this on Facebook Live, right? Doing all of this on Facebook Live. And the thing about it, I'm not going to play the video. This shit is fucking disgusting to me. But the thing about this and the reason why this lady is the ass hat of the week for the Span Report this week is because I spoke on this issue numerous times as well. As parents, we got to stop trying to sell our kids out for our own social affirmation. If your kids can't trust you to protect them and their image and who they are as people, then who the fuck can they trust? Who can they grow up? How can they grow up and be able to trust that anybody has their better interest in mind when their mom or their dad decides that, yo, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to put it on Facebook so everybody else can see it. And I'm going to make sure I get all these likes because of it. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about people patting you on the back because you beat the shit out of your kid. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about your kid. They pointing their fingers at you. They laughing at you. And then you become ass hat of the week. Right? And I did a show about this a couple months ago, man. It's like, yo, I get it. Like, some of us grew up getting our asses whooped. Some of us grew up and we turned out okay. But there's a lot of us who grew up getting our asses whooped and they're locked up, my brother included. Right? So some of us, we don't know anything other than the whoopings that we got. And we can't wait. It's a lot of us who can't wait to get grown and have kids so we can whoop our own kids. Like, there's something about some of us where we get a kick out of saying, yo, I'll fuck a kid up. Like, these kids ain't gonna disrespect me. Mm-mm, fuck that. You ain't gonna make me look bad in the streets. Mm-mm, fuck that. But then you go and you do it yourself by putting a video like that out on the internet. And then you get somebody who doesn't know either you or your daughter speaking on your shit. And then when I'm saying something that you don't necessarily agree with, or I'm critiquing what it is you're doing, now all of a sudden it ain't none of my business. But you just put the shit out on social media for every fucking body to see. So this action of disciplining your kids on Facebook or Twitter or any form of social media, man, a lot of the time, like, it's automatic asshat for me. Automatic. Think more of your kids, man. Think more of your kids than to try to publicly shame them for a whole bunch of goddamn strangers who don't give a fuck about you or your kids. So for this lady, because I don't even know her name, just saw the goddamn video. But for that, she's the ass hat of the week, man.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
our champ this week is none other than First Lady of the United States, man, Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama gave a rousing speech at the Democratic National Convention earlier this week, and I'm going to play a little bit of that for you guys here in a second so you can we can all bask in the greatness that is the First Lady. Check this out.
Leaders like Hillary Clinton, who has the guts and the grace to keep coming back and putting those cracks in that highest and hardest glass ceiling until she finally breaks through, lifting all of us along with her. That is the story of this country, the story that has brought me to this stage tonight, the story of generations of people who felt the lash of bondage, the shame of servitude, the sting of segregation, but who kept on striving and hoping and doing what needed to be done so that today I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves. And I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn. And because of Hillary Clinton, my daughters and all our sons and daughters now take for granted that a woman can be president of the United States. Don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great, that somehow we need to make it great again, because this right now is the greatest country on earth.
All right, all right. Now, you know what's funny, man? The funny thing is, man, Michelle Obama said that, you know, the White House was built by slaves. Like, it was so many white folks who took to Google to find out that what she said was true. You know what I mean? Like, did fucking Habitat for Humanity build the White House? Well, who did they think built the White House? Or better yet, what made matters even worse is that you had Bill O'Reilly's bitch ass get on Fox News and try to minimize how bad slavery was. Well, you know, they fed the slaves and they had decent lodging and, you know, yeah, you know, they were slaves, but, you know, it was some other people working on it too. Like, nah, man, fuck you. Fuck you, man. And that's part of the reason why, like, we have to keep having these discussions over and over again when it comes to the plight of African Americans in this country. It's like, yo, you got a lot of people who are trying to minimize your shit, like minimize what we've gone through. Even slavery. And it makes you wonder, like, what are they teaching these kids? What were they teaching these motherfuckers in school? Like, all of these people who were, like, really looking to see if the White House was really built by slaves were people who were older than me. 50, 60, 70 years old. That should know. And are cynical about it. So, I mean, that pissed me off. But at the end of the day, man, Michelle Obama was a star of that convention. Michelle Obama represents everything excellent about how wonderful black women are, and for that, man, for her representation, man, Michelle Obama is the Spanreport podcast champ of the week, man. Real talk. But it's almost time for me to get out of here, but I got some emails, I got some listener feedback to get to, so let me pull these up and hold on a second. I got a couple of them. All right. And the first one I got here is from John. Okay. And John writes in and say, "Greetings, Mr. Span. Just finished listening to your latest show, and it made me think about something I ran across a while back. It's an Alton Sterling article written by Marissa Janae Johnson. She's one of the BLM women protesting Bernie Sanders in Seattle. If you have time to read it, I'd be interested in knowing what you think about it." Okay, John. Well, I do know Marissa. Well, I know of Marissa. We're friends on Facebook. We haven't really had a chance to like really converse a whole hell of a lot, right? And I did read that article, and it was basically about the fact that, like, you know, it was about, you know, having misgivings about, you know, marching for or demonstrating for someone like an Alton Sterling who had a record of sexual abuse, right? And you have so many black women who are spearheading this movement and asking them to kind of put aside whatever issues they have with, you know, maybe sexual assault, whether they were victims of it or not, whether, you know, like having to deal with that issue and still demonstrate or march for someone who had an instance like that in their life. And it's very, it's something that kind of complicates this matter a whole lot. It's not really as cut and dry as a lot of folks would like for us to believe, right? And it was something that I hadn't really considered before. And I think at the end of the day, when it comes to what happened with Alton Sterling, is when it came to his past, we know it wasn't rosy. But I think what people are protesting is how he died and the actions surrounding that. Now, if you're going to ask anybody, especially someone who has issues like that, like big time, if you're going to ask somebody about, you know, protesting on his behalf and they have issues with what he did before, I don't think that I don't think you have any right to tell that person that they don't have the right to feel the way that they feel, that they don't have to that they have to kind of put their feelings aside for the greater cause of the movement. I think sometimes, man, there are going to be some things like, yo, people just have their lines like, nah, man, fuck that. I can't do it. Not for this one. Right. And I think we all do it to a certain degree. This has actually come up. I believe Rod kind of covered this on the Black Eyed Tips, where he was talking to a woman who he was talking to a young man on Twitter who was talking about Sandra Bland and some of the homophobic remarks that Sandra Bland has been known to have said before her demise, and, you know, the way in which she looked at Sandra Bland and how Sandra Bland had been received. And, you know, it's one of those things, man, like you're going to have those instances where, yo, folks ain't going to ride for you. Folks aren't necessarily going to, you know, agree with everything you say. Like, I mean, just take me, for instance, right? And I don't want to inject myself into this shit, but just take me, for instance. Like, if you listen to this podcast for, like, the last 6 years, right? I've been doing this for 6 years now. If you listen to this podcast, there's some shit that I've said early on in this podcast that somebody can go back and just be like, yo, man, fuck this dude, right? Fuck this dude. Because of some of the things and some of the ideas and some of the ways that I thought back then, I could very easily see somebody say, nah, man, he said this back in the day, man, fuck that guy. You know, the problem with it is that because these folks aren't here to tell their story or to show their growth or to show who they are or who they were at the time that they died, man, we can go back and find a whole lot of fucked up shit about a whole lot of people. But with Marissa's point and what I think a lot of people are saying is that I don't think that you can tell these people to put their feelings aside because of the greater need of the movement. There's going to be some instances where, you know, like I can't do it, not for that person. You know what I mean? And like I said, I think this came up on Rod and Karen's show where, like, you know, Rod was asking whether or not we would actually go out and march for Stacey Dash. And we know some of the fucked up shit Stacey Dash has been saying over the last few months and weeks and stuff like that. Or even like if Sheriff David Clark was to get gunned down, I don't know if I'd be out here like, yo, you know, that was fucked up what happened to David Clark. So I think we do have our lines. I think we do have things that would give us pause when it comes to who we demonstrate for and how we demonstrate for them, sometimes despite what happened to them and sometimes despite whether they deserved it or not. So it's a real complicated issue, and it's something that I don't think a lot of folks have really taken the time to consider, because I know I hadn't. I know I hadn't. And so it's made me think a little bit more about, you know, why and how and who I would be, you know, kind of advocating for, especially, you know, considering some of the things that have been happening as of late. But it's definitely something to think about. And I think Marissa has given us a lot to think about with that article. And I appreciate her writing. And I appreciate you, brother, for writing in and, you know, kind of making me think a little bit. You know what I mean? Because it was something that I really hadn't considered before. But I thank you, John, for writing in. And I hope to hear from you again soon, man. Real talk. I got another email here, and this one here is from Desiree. And Desiree writing, okay, Desiree. This is long. This is long. So, let's see. Yeah. All right. Desiree writes in and says, "Hey, Span, love the show, of course. Thanks to you and Mr. Gates, if I must, for giving me such a great entertainment for free. I haven't yet been able to bring myself to listen to your latest Art of Disagreement episode. Maybe when the kids are having a less crazy day, I'll have the mental capacity to handle how frustrated he makes me." And Gates has a tendency to do that, right? I'll get to it certainly, though, because you're totally right that we all need to step out of our bubbles to hear conflicting opinions, though I get plenty due to my family and where I live. I'm writing now in regards to your opening audio. Well, a part of it anyway. The part that talks about women willing to leave their man if they don't text them back quick enough has always pissed me off. Firstly, I wonder if that's actually a problem you run into or heard of, or if it's just hyperbole used to make a larger point. Well, the intro to the show is really some things, like it's a combination of things that I've said over the course of the show. Like, these are all things that I've said over the length of this show. And I took those parts out and I just kind of threw them into the intro. But the larger point in that particular part of it was the fact that we've become such a we treat people so disposably, right? Like, you know, we don't necessarily take the time to learn people and learn what, you know, learn what makes them tick and learn the things that make them happy and the things that upset them and really try to get into the gist of who a person is. And so even though in that particular example, I was saying that you would leave your man if he didn't text you back fast enough, it wasn't necessarily geared towards like a diss at women, because men do that shit all the time too. It was just a short snippet of what I said though, right? It was a short snippet of the larger point that I was trying to make, that yo, we treat people disposably. We get rid of people all the time for shit because we act as if we don't have time to actually invest in people. And so that's the point. That was the larger point that I was trying to make. I'm sorry that particular part of the intro pissed you off, but it was a part of a larger point that I was trying to make. Yeah. And also she says, okay, it says, "If it's an actual problem men are dealing with these days, all I can say is that women can be dicks too. And if you or anyone runs into that, then fuck that chick. She's just a bitch. I can say that. That's our word." Well, I'm gonna let you say that. Okay. Okay. And if that's the case, then I don't think it really jives with the rest of the intro audio, considering that the other specifics you mentioned, if it's an example used to make a larger point, which I think it probably is, correct me if I'm wrong, of course, then I'd like to expand on that a little. I've heard since I was a kid people bitching about the divorce rate and how people seem to get divorced so easily nowadays. While that may be true, I've often thought, well, yeah, women have the ability to free themselves from marriage now. Of course, people stay married back in the day. Every study and statistics on the subject shows that men typically fare better in life when they're married, just the opposite for women. It's worse for our health, careers, and life expectancy. Women who were raised to hope for nothing more than a family to fulfill them couldn't leave their husband. Stay-at-home mom doesn't look great on an employer application, not to mention the culturally induced shame they would have to face, and of course the pressure of your family is your job. So if you if you divorce, you failed at your job. Well, you know what? I think, you know, definitely the dynamics have changed, right? And I'm not saying, like, I think they've changed for the better. I think part of the reason, I've said this before, like, you know, even on the, even early on, I think I said it's in the intro too. I said, "You're not ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had," as part of that whole thing about texting back fast enough. You know, like, our grandparents stayed together a lot of times because grandma really didn't have a whole lot of options available to her at the time. You know, the way society was built up, grandma had to pretty much latch on to this dude who was not necessarily being good to her. You know what I mean? Like, she had to stay there. And she had to, you know, kind of, you know, grin and bear it for the sake of the family. You know, despite the fact that, you know, granddad might have a whole fucking whole new family on the other side of the town. You know what I mean? Like, that happens. Like, it's funny, man. The older I've gotten, I get a chance to kind of be a part of some of these grown-up conversations with my family, man. You start hearing some of the shit that went on back in the day. Like, man, y'all was messy as hell. You know what I mean? Like, I saw some shit in my own family, you know, and I heard about some things in my own family that started making sense once I got grown. You know what I mean? So the idea that, you know, when it comes to women that, you know, where they have to, you know, they have to latch on to marriage. That was a thing that was, you know, it's one of those things where it was culturally the way to do things, right? It was just the way that they did things. And unfortunately for a lot of our grandmothers, a lot of our great grandmothers, they were bound to this program where, yo, you got with a man, you stayed with that man, you had babies with that man, you nurtured that man's babies, and you had a family with that man, despite the fact that this man might not necessarily be the right man for you, and despite the fact that this man may be very disrespectful to you, and despite the fact that this man might not necessarily respect you. So women have a lot more agency now, rightfully so, and as they should. And so I know I probably made it was probably a conflicting thing now that I think about it. It's kind of conflicting, you know, because I'm advocating for the agency of women, but at the same time, you know, saying that women are are using men disposably. So I guess I get, again, something that I need to think about. And I appreciate you writing in to say that, Desiree. Real talk. This really made me think about this. You also write in to say, yes, women who have been married for decades say it was great, but what are they to say? I wasted my life with a man I didn't love. Please note, I say all this as a stay-at-home mom. Fuck, I hate that term. It's all right. Of three, who's been married to my husband for nearly a decade. You don't mention that men are quick to leave their women for something you consider trivial. Why? Honestly, it was because it was just an intro, and I was like, I don't want the intro to be like a real long think piece. It was like just the intro to the show, and it was, you know, again, making a larger point. Also, she writes in to say, why put that in there without a counter or a male equivalent? Unless you really think women are simply more shallow and reactionary than men, why have that? Well, that's not what I believe, though. That is not what I believe. I believe, honestly, if you've been listening to the show a lot lately, like, I've been giving dudes the business. Like, it's a lot of dudes mad at me because of some of the things that I say as far as, you know, how we view rape, how we view the agency of women, how we sometimes aren't necessarily aware of the privilege that we exert and how it manifests and how we bring it about on the day-to-day basis. It's a lot of dudes who listen to the show who will probably stop listening to the show because of the way that I advocate for women on this issue. You know, so that's not something that I believe, sister. It really bugs me, and it makes me wonder if it's due to your more personal experiences than to your overall thoughts on today's society. Now, I will say this. There have been times on this show where I said something really fucked up towards women. Or about women, especially earlier on in the show. Like, when I first started doing this show, like, around, 2009, 2010. Because it's been a while. I've been doing the show for a minute now. So I've said some really problematic things earlier on, man. I've said some really fucked up shit. Especially, like, if you go back to some of my YouTube videos before I started even doing a podcast. Like, if you go back and you listen to some of those YouTube videos, you're like, yo, man, fuck this dude. Because I look back on those videos sometimes, and like, yo, man, I was fucked up. I haven't taken those videos down. I refuse to take those videos down because I make it a point to let, as a reminder to me, to like, yo, this is something that you said and this is something that you thought was right at the time. At the time, that was what I believed. And I might not necessarily hold those views anymore. Like, there's a lot of things that I've evolved on my thinking. I've changed in how I think about a lot of different things, especially when it comes to women. And so, I mean, I get it, like, how it can come across as me being sexist because I've said some sexist things. I can get it as me being misogynistic because I've said some misogynistic things. But at the end of the day, when it came to the intro was making a larger point. And I hope I explained that larger point sufficiently enough. Desiree also writes in to say, that all kind of brings me to the very fascinating Mr. Gates. You mentioned on your latest show that people may look at you sideways for even being friends with him. I think I do, at least a little bit. Please don't get me wrong. I very much respect you and your views, and I get coming up with people you grow to love and respect, even as your opinions get further from each other. I'm in fucking Texas, after all, a small town at that, and from a very Baptist family, while I'm now an atheist. Oh, okay. I have very few people in my life who I see eye to eye on every damn on damn near every relevant issue, but I love and respect them all. Where I differ from you, at least in the case of Mr. Gates, is that I won't even bring up many topics because I know if I hear their true opinions, I simply won't respect them anymore. Beyond basic human respect, of course. Perhaps I'm just a pussy, but think about it. If I were to say to you, hey man, I know my friend is a staunch white supremacist, but she's a great gal, always there to babysit when I need, and always has a shoulder for me to cry on when necessary, would you still want to hear that bitch's opinion and give it equal weight to a non-racist person's opinion? No, I wouldn't. But the difference between that and this is, like, honestly, and I don't want to speak for Gates. I don't. But at the same time, Gates is a troll. And Gates says a lot of things to get a reaction out of folks. Right? I don't necessarily know if Gates truly believes everything that he says while he's doing the podcast, especially when we do the art of disagreement. I don't know if he necessarily truly believes that. Now, then sometimes we have some conversations over the phone and Gates will say something that I don't necessarily agree with. And we talk about it. And then we'll have, you know, some of those result in our disagreement episode. But everything that Gates says on the show, I don't know if he necessarily believes all those things. I think that sometimes Gates is saying things to get a reaction out of folks. And sometimes getting a reaction out of folks gets people talking. And it makes you upset. And again, I don't want to speak for him. But he's trolled me. He trolled me the last time we were on the Art of Disagreement. He trolled me. I was drunk, which made it easier. But he trolled me. So I don't necessarily want to say that Gates truly believes all of that shit, because I don't necessarily believe that he believes all of that shit that he says. I think that Gates is a troll, and he says he's a troll, and I know that sometimes trolls say things in order to get reactions out of people. And I don't necessarily want to operate that way. As much as I have respect for him and helping me get this Span Report thing rolling, I don't necessarily believe that's the way that I want to go about doing things as far as trolling is concerned. But I get it. I get it. Like I said, I know some people look at me sideways because of our friendship. I know that. But at the same time, I don't just toss my friends aside. Right? I can't do that. It takes a whole lot for me to get to a point where I'm just like, you know what? I can't. Me and that dude have conversations over the phone that a lot of folks aren't privy to. Everything that we talk about over the phone isn't necessarily fodder for the Span Report or the Haterazzi radio show or the Art of Disagreement. It is not. That's a friend of mine. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't. That isn't a secret. So, although I can get how folks can sometimes get confused by that, that is my friend. And I get how people can get confused with that, though. Where am I in this email? Okay, I think that most people I know are more racist than they admit. They certainly aren't that bad, so please don't think this question is cold for I know Klan members. Nah, we cool. Every time your friend is on, I think, damn, this man hates women. I get that. I definitely get that. Damn, he doesn't respect women. Damn, he really thinks men should be in fucking charge. Because apparently we're just too stupid in his mind to be equal to him and his penis. Well, I know one of the things that Gates has said to me, and we've talked about this, is that there's a lot of people who think like that. And sometimes he gives voice to that. But again, I don't necessarily know if that's what Gates truly believes. I hope that's not what Gates truly believes. But even to that, I would say, yeah, it's a whole lot of people that thought the world was flat. And we know that not to be true. You know what I mean? So sometimes giving voice, equal voice to every, you know, to everything, I don't necessarily believe in. I don't necessarily agree with. Sometimes people need to be ridiculed, and sometimes people need to be told that they're stupid. And I don't necessarily believe in giving them, that sort of platform. I think, you know, a lot of stupid shit needs to be relegated to stupid shit and not necessarily given the legitimacy of casual conversation. But that's how I look at it. And so Gates looks at it differently. Gates looks at it as, yo, people are thinking this, and their opinion is just as valid as your opinion. No matter what you may think of their opinion, they have their right to it. And so, there's that tricky balance of, you know, that the whole thing with safe spaces and whatnot, like where, you know, you have folks who want to be in a safe space where they don't necessarily have to want to deal with the trolls and the dickheads and the people who are only going to make fun of them and talk shit to them and everything else. And then you got the trolls and the dickheads and everything else who want the freedom to make those jokes and the freedom to pick with people and the freedom to mess around with folks' well-being and everything. Like, I'm not in that camp. I would much rather leave folks alone. So, I mean, there's always that dichotomy there where, you know, there's got to be a middle ground somewhere. And I think that's where I fit. Like, I'm not all the way in either spectrum. You know what I mean? But there are some thoughts that a lot of trolls have that I'm just like, nah, fuck that. That's stupid. It needs to be relegated to the stupid category. And we're not going to have this in civil conversation. But again, like I said, me and Gates on that particular thing, we have different views on. Let's see. Combine that with the piece in your intro, and I wonder what this band really think about us women. You certainly say most of the right words, but so do most of the religious men I know. Then they throw in that God made men to be head of the household, and I get their truest sexist feelings. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm sorry if I'm coming off as thinking you're genuinely sexist, but I don't think you are, and I almost certainly know that you don't want to be. But maybe some things they kind of get hardwired into men are still there, just like I keep over explaining and apologizing, because that bullshit is hardwired into us women. We must give our opinions with a million caveats as to not seem like bitches, but fuck it. Am I a bitch? No, you're not a bitch, Desiree. So I conclude with, what the fuck, man? Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Love you, Des. Thank you for the email, sister. I am a reformed dickhead. I'll say that. I am a reformed dickhead. I am a dude who had a whole lot of dickhead tendencies. I am a dude who had done a lot of things to women over the course of my life that I'm not necessarily proud of, and I'm not that dude anymore. And I speak to a lot of the ways in which I used to be when it comes to, like, when I talk about ashy niggas, yo, your man Span used to be an ashy nigga. Real talk. Like, make no bones about it. Your man Span used to be a lot of these dudes that we talk about now. And so now when I speak on these issues, man, and I get, like, when I speak on these issues, I'm speaking on these issues because it's because I've had a chance to, I've actually talked to women. I've actually listened to women. I've actually tried to understand what it is they're thinking and how they're feeling about how they interact with men and how some of my actions could have been problematic and how the ways that I was a problem and I was contributing to it. And once I figured out, and once I saw how much I was contributing to the negative feelings that women were having about men, I didn't want to be that guy no more. My wife, before we got married, man, me and my wife, we were dating. We dated off and on for about 6 years, off and on. And I can remember a time, this is probably early on, like even before I started this podcast, where she stopped fucking with me for a minute. And the reason why she said that she stopped fucking with me was because, yo, she like, yo, you too negative, man. Like, I can't have you in my space, man. You bringing me down, dog. Like, I don't like the way you talk about women and stuff. Like, I have, like, throwback Thursday pictures and shit. Like, where I used to, like, troll women and stuff. Like, I was a dickhead. And I know it. And, like, now I look back on the guy that I was and the guy that I am now. And I'm glad that I'm not that dude no more. Now, it's made relationships different. Like, some of the cats that I used to hang around with, we don't really kick it no more. We don't really talk a whole hell of a lot. You know, our ideas on life and how we view life and how we view our relationships with women are different. You know, so like as a reformed dickhead, I can say that there were some times where I said some things, not only on this podcast, but on social media and on YouTube, that were very problematic. But over the course of the last few years, I have tried my damnedest to not be that guy anymore, to learn more about how my former actions were contributing to the bullshit, so to speak. So I apologize, Desiree, if the intro offends you. And I apologize for you feeling as if, you know, your man Spam might be an undercover sexist, because that's not who I am anymore. That's just not who I am. And I hope that, you know, after watching me and after listening to me over the course of the last few years and going forward, that I'm able to kind of convey that and, you know, can kind of reassure those who may have those questions that that's not who I am. Now, as far as Mr. Gates is concerned, man, again, that is my friend. We don't agree on a whole hell of a lot, but that is my friend. One of my best men at my wedding. We don't agree on a whole hell of a lot. Not Gates, but another friend of mine. We don't agree on a whole hell of a lot. But that man is my friend. And I don't want to surround myself where everybody is telling me how right I am all the time. I can't change if everybody is telling me how right I am all the time. I can't recognize what's wrong and what I may be doing if everybody's telling me how right I am all the time. Even now, like in this exchange, you're telling me something that is an issue for you and is giving me something to consider. So that's what I mean when we talk about, you know, being able, like the art of disagreement and being able to have these conversations, even though we may disagree or whatever, but you understand where somebody else may be coming, and it gives you something more to think about. And so I appreciate your email, Desiree. I really do. And I do hope to hear from you again, sister. I really do. Thank you for the email. And we'll talk again soon, real talk. But I got to get out of here, man. It's time for me to go. But before I go, I got to let you guys know, again, how to get in touch with me here at the Spam Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead, hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemails. I'll play them here on the show and respond to you here on the show. You can also email me at feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read those just like I did with John and Desiree's here, right here on the show. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Like the Mr. Span fan page. Watch these shows live here on Facebook. Watch them on you can watch them on the website. Watch them on your phone, watch them on your tablet, wherever you are. Facebook Live, like that fan page, get notified when we go live, man. And also, you can go to thespamreport.com, go and donate to the show, however often you like, as much as you like, whatever you can give is appreciated here at the Spam Report. But not only that, you can go there and get all of the episodes of the Spam Report, even back to when your man Spam was being a straight up dickhead. Go all the way back to episode 1. And, yeah, man, you can go back and do that. You can vote in the polls. We got that poll going on this episode, whether or not you think that Michael Jordan's contribution was enough to kind of combat against police violence. Go to the website, www.thespamreport.com, and, you know, get your Spam Report needs fixed there. And also, The Spanner Report t-shirts, man, they're for sale right now. $22.99. Go to www.teespring.com/Spanner Report. Go get yourself a SpannerReport.com t-shirt, man. The official t-shirt of the Spanner Report podcast, man. If you're rocking with the show and you want to let people know, what better way than to go ahead and rock out with a Spanner Report podcast t-shirt, man. Real talk. But, yeah, man, it's time for me to get out of here, right? So I appreciate everybody who was watching the show live, and I appreciate everybody who's listening to the show later. But I got to get out of here. So until next time, fam, peace.